Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to read some words from Mark, which we read before, and I'm going to add some words from Matthew also. John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham." This is the word of God. And dear fellow believers, waiting for the Savior's return. Professor Siegbert Becker, who is now in heaven, a former teacher of mine at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, once shared this quote: "Take away the aroused conscience, and you might just as well turn churches into dancing halls." In other words, he was saying, if folks no longer are worried about the fact that they're sinners, and the punishment that they deserve because of sinners, and where that punishment really is, where it takes place, if that's not taking place, then you might as well just forget the church, because the church has lost its purpose. It's lost its reason for existence. It serves no purpose at all. The same is also true for this time of the church year. In other words, if people are not having hurting consciences because of their sins, then really we might as well celebrate Christmas as being like the 4th of July or any other secular type of celebration. Because if we don't see the fact that we are sinners in need of salvation, then really the meaning of Christmas is completely gone. It's lost in the jumble of all those other things. When we sing, "'Tis the season to be jolly," it's also good for us to take a good long look at why we can be jolly, why we have joy, why we have happiness this time of the year, especially when people seem to be not so happy this time of the year. Well, Matthew and Mark help us to learn about this as we think about the work of John the Baptist, that John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Savior. I think we all have in our minds a picture of John the Baptist doing his work along the Jordan River. It's a very low area, one of the lowest areas in the world, actually, and it's hot. And he's there with his sackcloth, his camel hair skin clothes on, and eating locusts and honey and things like that. And yet, as he preached the word of God, people came from the surrounding countryside. They came from Jerusalem. They came from across the river in Perea. And they were there trying to hear John the Baptist. And actually, many of them were confessing their sins and being baptized by John. Can you imagine that picture? But there were more people who were coming to see John, too. They were called Sadducees and Pharisees. And they were not coming to confess their sins as the common folk were doing. They were coming to do some reconnaissance. They were there kind of to do a fact-finding mission. Because you see, John was not one of their sanctioned preachers and teachers. And they had in mind to shut him down. They didn't want this going on, to ruffle feathers and to make waves. The Sadducees were a group, a sect of the Jewish faith that actually came from the aristocracy. They were well-to-do. Many of them were chief priests. But what's really interesting is that the Sadducees did not believe in life after death. They did not believe in the immortal soul. They did not believe that there was a place called heaven or a place called hell. When you think about it, why did they even bother with religion in the first place? I mean, every religion, even non-Christian religions, have something to do with what comes after this life, but they didn't think there was any at all. Are there people around us in our lives who think kind of like the Sadducees that way, that what you see is what you get, that this is, life is all there is, and when it's over, it's done, and there's nothing else at all? That's a sad view of life. To such people, the birthday of Jesus, Christmas, can really not mean much at all. I mean, maybe they enjoy the story of a sweet little baby being born in an idyllic little manger in a little town called Bethlehem, and that kind of tugs at the heartstrings. But certainly, they don't see Jesus as a savior if they don't see anything that they're being saved from. Why should they even worry about the future if they don't think that there's any kind of future at all? But you know what? Sweet little baby stories don't stop the nagging, gnawing conscience that every single human being has. That little voice that says when we do something or think something or say something wrong, that there is this greater being, this holier, greater being that we are responsible to, that we are answerable to. And then there was the group called the Pharisees. The Apostle Paul knew about the Pharisees because the Apostle Paul had been a Pharisee. In fact, the Bible says he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He's one of the best of all. They were the strictest group of the Jewish faith. And they did believe in the afterlife. They believed in the soul. They believed that when you die, you went to heaven or hell. They believed that there was a resurrection from the dead. They also believed, however, that the way that you got to heaven was by the kind of life that you lived in this world. And they also believed that because they were the descendants of Abraham, because Abraham's blood was flowing through their veins, that that was automatic qualification for heaven. And that's actually why John the Baptist spoke these words. Do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. So blood descendants of Abraham were a dime a dozen, John was saying. And DNA has nothing to do with salvation. So when you think of these two groups who were coming out to hear John the Baptist so that they could eventually condemn him, they were really all in the same boat, weren't they? You had people who believed that they could get to heaven by their conduct and by their bloodline. And you had people who didn't believe in the existence of an afterlife in heaven or hell. And so they truly were exactly the same, ultimately, because they both groups did not realize how lost they were and how much they needed a savior. They didn't see it at all. And how about us, fellow Christians? How about us when it comes to Christmas? Do we truly stop and think about the meaning of Christmas and why we're celebrating this time of the year? And obviously that's on your minds because you're here worshiping right now as well. But can we truly have a meaningful, happy Christmas and a Merry Christmas, even if there is all this stuff going on in our lives and in our world and this pandemic? Can it truly be a happy, meaningful Christmas if we maybe can't get together? Things are getting worse with so many people as we normally do at Christmas, or if because of the economy situation, we can't buy the quantity or quality of gifts that we once did in the past? Does that stop Christmas from being Christmas? Or take away the true meaning of it? Not at all. Not at all. Because you and I are not Pharisees and Sadducees. We understand that Jesus came into this world for our sakes to save us, because we have an eternity waiting for us, an eternity that's worth far more than any momentary celebrations that we can have in this world. John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Repent really means to change your mind, to think differently from the way that you used to think. And you know, a Sadducee would repent if he believed that there was a place called hell. I mean, if you truly believe in hell, you truly don't want to be there. And so we need to be careful not to be like the Sadducees. Because if we are focusing our attention and more concerned with the things of this world rather than the things to come, the heaven or hell, then we can get caught up in the same kind of mistaken thinking. If we're so concerned, more concerned in our lives about, you know, who the Packers are going to draft for Aaron Rodgers to throw that long pass to, or if we're more concerned about, the next posting on Facebook, then we are concerned about our spiritual welfare, or perhaps the spiritual welfare of our family and friends or co-workers around us, then we need a change of mind. Like John the Baptist said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees needed a change of mind. It's so important for us to continue to focus on the real reason that we are celebrating. What do you suppose is first and foremost on God's list? Our creature comforts? Making sure we're having pleasant times here on earth? Or making sure that ultimately we're going to see him face to face in heaven? You know, baby Jesus was born truly for our souls, before our bodies. On the other hand, a Pharisee would repent, but have a change of mind if he would believe that he cannot get to heaven by who he is or what he does. But that's just an impossibility. As John reminds us, every last one of us is by nature bad trees that deserve to be cut down and cast into the fire. And so if we all remember that by nature, we don't deserve any of this that God has done for us, our Advent season and our Christmas season is going to be so filled with gratitude, understanding that Jesus was so loving and so kind and caring and compassionate that he would come into this world as that little baby and allow himself to live in a world that is so against him and even murdered him, so that he could gain for us this perfect standing with God and reestablish a relationship with him that will last forever. And that will truly fill us with the kind of joy that means something every day of our lives. In fact, this is what Advent Hymn 32 says. When sinners see their lost condition and feel the pressing load of sin, and Jesus comes on his blessed mission to heal the sin-sick heart within, all grief must flee before his grace, and joy divine will take its place. Joy divine. That's what we have from Jesus. The sadness of our sinfulness is replaced by the joy of the forgiveness of every single one of those sins. God, help us to listen to that voice of John the Baptist this Advent season and every moment of our lives as we walk together with Jesus. Amen. Please remain seated. And the peace of God that surpasses